back to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere tractor dealer. They also handle the turf products. Go up there and see what they have in stock. They've got a big inventory of tractors and mowers and all kinds of stuff. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard, or you can give them a call at 226-9226. They're also a Honda dealer now. They can fix you up with a Honda generator. Lots to choose from in stock, so go up and see them.
Christmas is coming, so what if you wanted to say, get like a fun John Deere clock?
Yeah, you could get
a steering wheel cover.
Yeah, you could.
Or toys.
Yeah.
Or little tiny clothes for small children with John Deere logos on them. Yeah,
thanks for that.
Okay, they got a lot of stuff in there.
They got a lot of stuff, yeah. Yeah, go up and see them. You can also get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
I only get to go there when the alarm goes off, so I'm just loitering, waiting for the burglars to leap out of the bushes.
Don't actually let her in the building, but she can look through the windows.
Oh, it's sad. Yeah. So our guest for this show, and I have a feeling we'll have to force her to come back with us because she's got a whole bunch of information. But Professor Cynthia Ayers, I'll give you the second part of her bio. She has a really fun first part. You should listen to the first part of the show. But she was, let's see what she's doing now. Where's the little blurb? Oh, it's, you know, stupid computers. We talked about cyber security, and I think somebody's just moving the page around just to screw with me. I'm going to blame it on the Chinese. They seem to be the ones that are doing most of that lately. Every time we do a show about them, by the way, our computers do malfunction and we have issues. Emails disappear, and that's a really neat trick when they're in your system and then they're suddenly magically not. And, oh, yes, I did check the deleted box and the archive. So anyway, Professor Ayers was employed as the vice president of EMP Act America, a bipartisan, not-for-profit group working in support of the electric grid vulnerability mitigation. More recently, she worked as a temporary part-time, that sounds like one of those fake temporary part-time, actually full-time gigs as a research assistant with George Mason University's Learning Agent Center on a grant concerning artificial intelligence-based systems. Maybe that's what's doing it. It's artificial intelligence. She is currently working as an independent cyber warfare consultant. See, that's just like something rolls right off your tongue. What do you do? Oh, I'm an independent cyber warfare consultant. People are like, what? Within the Strategic Concepts and Doctrine Division of the Center for Strategic Leadership, U.S. Army War College.
Yeah. Can I get your IP address real quick?
And a senior advisor to the executive director of the Patuxent Partnership. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
It reminded me of Groundhog Day. I got all tangled up in Punxsutawney Phil. And I was like, that's not it.
Wow. That was a great movie.
Oh, yeah. The rest of your day is going to be super fun, Bill.
Yeah.
I got up really early. I got very little sleep. It happens every time. I don't know why it makes me so silly. Other people get all tired and dreary. Not me. And I'm really good in a crisis. In a crisis, this happens, too. This is also how I handle crisis. So if the EMP hits, you just call me up. Professor Ayers, we'll have a much better time than you guys would be having.
Yes, absolutely.
If you need some comic relief, I'm your girl. So, you know, what does the Army War College do? Or maybe not what they do. What is it? Why do we have it?
Essentially, it's a place where senior leaders go, lieutenant colonels and colonels, and there are a percentage for each military service to have a certain. There's a certain number of foreign officers that come in to go through the same program, but it's a program culminating in a degree, in a master's degree in strategic studies. For senior leaders, essentially, it's trying to, they go through the theory, they discuss current issues, and have many different types of electives that are more focused into the types of things that they will be looking at when they leave the war college, essentially.
So, are these people who have been out running the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines for a while, and then they go back and do this? Are they sent by their command? Is it something you raise your hand and volunteer for? Like, how do you wind up there? And how big is it?
It's my impression that it's kind of both. You do kind of volunteer, but they also just send you. It depends on... depends a lot on your career progression.
Sure. If you're not very good at that, they probably don't send you. They don't ever want you to be in charge of anything. Don't give that guy any more information.
Right, yeah. as far as how big is it, well, the Army War College isn't as big as some of the others. There's the, you know, Marine War College, which is smaller. Naval War College, I don't remember exactly what their size is, but I want to say it's smaller. The Air War College... probably similar, and then there's the National War College, and then there's NDU, the National Defense University, which is kind of similar. But ours, the Army War College, has about 350-plus students every year that are residents, and then a larger population of distance ed. The distance ed students go through 2 years of a program and come to the War College for the summer, essentially, for the 2 years that they're enrolled. And then they graduate with a master's degree. So it's an extensive program. They're thinking deeply about threat, about military options and issues, and theory like Clausewitz or Sun Tzu Sun Tzu, as many others like.
Sure.
I was told by a gentleman who studies nothing but Chinese information warfare that it's Sun Tzu. So I have a hard time trying to figure out who's going to understand.
I was going to say, but then nobody knows who you're talking about.
Right.
You're relegated to just calling it the Art of War, which could mean anything.
Right. Yeah. but essentially, that's what they do. It's fascinating. I went up there with some trepidation because coming directly from NSA as a civilian, teaching, especially teaching at the time, I was teaching information warfare and cybercrime and cyber warfare, which kind of at some point fell out of favor, both of those. And then I started teaching intelligence applications. But it was definitely an interesting and really a good opportunity to understand more about government in general and the military specifically, and what we're up against. I thought I knew when I was, especially after being in the counterterrorism center during 9/11, but I was able to get a much more strategic outlook on what the world was facing, and it got scarier by the year. So.
Oh, well, that's relaxing. So your classes, your focus is still back to being cyber.
Mostly
cyber connected?
Yes. Yeah, the classes that I deal with at the War College now are mostly cyber, yes. Yeah. Now, as Dr. Price said, I mean, he was a little toward discouraging the way, well, he was saying that money, much more money is given toward the cyber issue than he believed. Has been given toward other things like the MP issue, and I would agree with him on that. One of the things that happened along the way, you know, we were being totally ignored for quite a while, but about 2012, mid-2012, all of a sudden we started getting an awful lot of activity from the government on critical infrastructure issues, but it was all on cyber. And it was all very doom and gloom. SecDef and Department of Homeland Security, Secretary Janet Napolitano, the president himself, just about anybody who was anybody that had anything to do with, you know, NSA chief, you name it. Anybody who had anything to do with cyber issues or had in their reporting line any kind of cyber issues were starting to be almost, well, they were, it was almost like they were in panic.
Right.
It was very odd to watch. It was mid-2012 through the executive order period that President Obama gave an executive order in January of 2013 and through the middle of 2013. And the explanations given varied slightly, but only slightly. And SecDef, Leon Panetta, just came out and said, if you take down our grid, if you take down our life systems, that will be an act of war. So, which was totally unheard of at the time, that,
sure,
that a cyber attack could be called an act of war.
And do you think that all of a sudden interest in 2012 was due to their lack of knowledge in that field, or an increase in cyber activity?
I think they found something that had been in the systems for quite a while that shook them to the core.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was black energy from all of the open source information that I've seen. And again, this is all open source. From what I've seen, I believe they realized that Russia had implanted black energy malware into our systems. It had been there for a while, and it shook them.
Well, we gave the House of Representatives over to the Awan brothers, so...
But, right.
You know,
after
like,
that, things kind of...
yeah, Debbie Wasserman yeah. Schultz and the Awan brothers, like, right there in plain sight, and, oh, yeah, nothing happened to them. We have to take a really quick break, but I would be remiss not to note that this show is airing originally on November the 10th, 2019, and November the 10th is what is a special day today, Bill?
It's Veterans Day.
It's the Marine Corps birthday.
Oh boy,
you're just lucky they didn't kick in the door and come and throw you to the ground.
Still,
I'm not taking him to the birthday ball tonight. They would find out. They would know. I would be in peril. How many? Too much.
That was over the top. There,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How many years?
Oh dear.
4.
244 years. I'm totally giving him hand signals.
Yeah, I don't get the hand signals. I'm not good
at
that.
I was trying to help you there.
Yeah,
244
sorry.
Years we have had the Marines. So, it's a good song going out to the Marines because it's fun.
Yeah.
And they're awesome.
Warm justice will be served and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. And gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid. Yeah, I'm steady, yeah, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor. Cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soul. An American beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier,
nobody says thank you for your service like Toby Keith. I don't think. Not today, anyway. So, happy Veterans Day, and thank you for all those who are serving and who have served. And the Marine Corps is how many years old today, Bill?
Oh, it's 244.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah. Got it. You've been redeemed.
I'm trainable.
Let's get Bill over there to that Army War College. You got some good material here, Professor Ayers.
Absolutely.
He's like a sponge. So they're there for 2 years, and they go back to their command, because I'm assuming if you're a colonel and different things like that. Do you have to be a, you know, do you have to have been there a certain amount of time? I mean, do you have young people? Are they old? Or guys that have been around a long time? Ladies?
And the ones that are residents are there for 1 year, but there are some, they all look young to me anymore because when I...
You know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. We were just talking about that.
My son is actually older, I think, than some of them.
Yeah, that's spooky, but, huh? Yeah, the Secret Service guy last night, I'm like, how long have you been in the Secret Service? He goes, 2 years. I was like, what are you, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so what were you going to... I mean, like, what didn't make it in your career path, like, since you just decided 2 years ago? He's like, are you going to be like a fireman or a policeman? You just decided you're going to be a Secret Service guy.
And as he shook his head, like, who is this?
He's like, oh wait, I think that the majority leader's having a problem. I got to go. All right, I was curious.
Well, yeah. I've always wondered about FBI, because when I was graduating from high school, we were trying to pick careers of certain types, and my godfather had been in the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, but it was FBI. And I always
back when cross-dressing was really cross-dressing.
Right, exactly.
Back when we had two genders and it was called cross-dressing. Hey, we had a little confab about this over email, Bill. You weren't involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We already laughed about
and
this
it was in the closet.
Privately.
Yeah.
But anyway, when I tried to see what, you know, women were finally being admitted into the FBI, but at the time, and I don't know if it's even on the internet or if there's any archives of this particular period of time at all, but according to what I had read when I graduated, a woman had to, I think it was, you had to weigh 180 pounds and, you know, be a certain height. So it was literally, they wanted women to conform to all of the specifics that men had to conform to, including weight and height and all of that.
You had to be an Amazon.
Did you have to be able to grow a beard? No, they're not allowed to have beards.
That, thankfully.
Guess that was out.
But I would have had to have grown about a foot and gained an awful lot of weight.
Eat three chickens a day.
Right.
So they said, hey, you shrimpy girl, you go over to the NSA and go listen to people.
Exactly, yeah.
You go tell us what's going on. How'd you wind up over there?
I joined the Army. There were so few in 1972. There were so few things that women could do back then, and I was told when I graduated from high school, I was told I could be a G. My grades were so good, and I was in the top levels of the student body. I could be a secretary or a nurse,
and president of PTA.
Yeah, something like that. So I decided to join the Army because the Army was looking for women at that point in time. It was just exactly when they were starting to bring more and more women into the Army. But still, we were not allowed to go into most of the occupational designations. So I ended up being a MORSOC. And how that worked out is it was called the Army Security Agency back then. It's now INSCOM. But I was brought into this little room and told, we got a deal for you. You're great. Your scores are perfect for the ASA. And I said, oh, what do they do? We can't tell you.
Oh, well, that narrows it down.
That's my kind of job there.
They're like, that's super cool. I'll just carry around this blank index card as my business card.
But that's kind of, it was the only thing that really struck me as being perhaps something that was potentially interesting. So,
get my interest.
And I became a Morris code operator, which then transferred into, I spent 7 years in the Army. So I went from being a WAC, a Women's Army Corps member, to being a generic member of INSCOM, and then I was able to transfer over to NSA. It took almost a year to get my clearance redone, that was really my entrance into NSA, which I will always be grateful of. It was the opportunities that I've been able to get just from having been in the military have been fabulous, especially for somebody my age. It's, you know, these things just weren't done back then.
Well, when did we invent the NSA?
I want to say it was 47.
No kidding?
Yeah. It had an interesting evolution, too, and it started out as being the technicians, those who were crippies, mathematicians, those who did the work, essentially. And then eventually, especially by the time I left, it was more of an agency of engineers, computer scientists, who weren't incapable of doing the work. It was more that because those kinds of people demanded more in terms of monetary satisfaction, if you will. They ended up being pulled in and then brought up to leadership levels. And it can be debated as to how good engineers are at managing.
I've spoken to engineers before. I relate to that.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. Actually, it's interesting, too, when you get into the intelligence world, different agencies act in different ways. And have you ever heard of a Myers-Briggs?
Oh, yes. I'm an ENTJ.
I'm an INTP.
Oh, wow. Well, there you have it.
That's right.
Everyone at home, shout it out. Bill's like, what are they saying?
You know, I've forgotten even what they mean. Intuitive.
Yeah, I'm obviously the extrovert one. That'd be my E part. I rope in people like you and make you laugh on the air.
I'm a GRTGUI.
Yeah. Back well, they, to they have, forget your admission to the war college there, bud. Right. You're out.
But each one of these organizations has a different personality.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really evident when you go from one, like NSA is essentially mostly ISTJs, so we're all introverts and judging.
Yeah.
Things that are considered not necessarily for CIA work, which you have to be an extrovert, and someone who will go
out
with them.
You guys are the lurkers.
Yeah.
You're always out there.
The lurkers.
You're always out there lurking. Bill, that's what you could be. You could be a lurker.
Yeah.
A lurker, yeah.
There you go. If you were younger, well, you could be a looker, but that's out.
Yeah.
Got to kind of be a girl for that.
Face for radio.
Yeah. You meet the height requirement, though. Bonus.
Yeah. Well, there are actually jokes about NSA. Why do NSA people look at the other person's shoes? How can you tell an introvert from an extrovert? I'm sorry, I ruined the joke.
Classic.
You're qualified.
Classic introvert problem.
Right. Yeah. The introvert looks at his shoes, and the extrovert looks at the other person's shoes.
Oh. And it's funny if you work for the VA. Speaking of shoe jokes, if you work for the VA, real story. Got a new underboss or whatever he is for the health administration here in Northern California. He's sitting right next to his boss. They both have their legs crossed, and they're wearing the exact same shoes. Looked at the guy. I go, so did you get the job because you wore the same shoes as the other guy? And he goes, what? I go, did you get the shoes before the job interview or after the job interview? He didn't even notice he was wearing the same shoes. He's not qualified to be in the NSA or anything else.
Nice
plan. We'll have to bring in the behavioral analysis people on that one.
Oh, right.
Keep them in the closet. Well, we found a good song for you. We found a good theme song for you. So we will play that now. You're listening to We the People Radio. Oh. Here's Professor Ayers in music.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
NSA theme song there. There are so many, though. So many. So,
that's a
do you still remember?
Wonderful selection.
Just seemed fun. So do you still remember all the Morse code and all that? Are you the person, like, I just watched some movie and it, what was it? I saw like 10 minutes of it. Bill was watching it. There's a movie where they snuck these guys onto an airplane because they'd been taken over by terrorists.
Oh, that was Executive Action.
Oh. And somebody was in the cargo part of the plane, but he remembered how to do Morse code, so he signaled to the fighter bombers not to shoot him down. See, yeah. That'd be you.
That's realistic.
It could be. Actually, in a pinch, I can remember that.
See?
It would take me just a little while to get back into it, but I do. I actually collect Morse code telegraph keys. And
oh, wow.
You know, old field phones and things like that, so people think I'm a bit weird. But
I have an old adding machine.
They might come in handy in an EMP scenario. So.
If you're going to transact money, you can call me. I've got the old adding machine.
Yeah. Just push the button and pull it, crank.
Adding machines are wonderful. Actually, I think that's a great thing to collect.
And I have several manual typewriters. I have a little problem there, too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I typed all my term papers on a manual typewriter.
You know, I did my master's degree on manual and I can't even imagine how I did it.
We had tough fingers then.
I
mean, because you've got to have tough fingers. Otherwise, you don't hit all the keys and the strikes aren't right. And the old lady who's your typing instructor comes after you with a ruler, or maybe that was just at my school.
Yeah, but it's funny. You know, we had a party one time at our house, and one of the couples.
How did you segue into that?
Well, their daughter came, pulled me aside, and took me into the room and said, "What is that?" And it was an old Smith Corona manual typewriter, and she had no idea what it was. And I told her, she goes, "Nah," and I go, "Yeah, you put paper in it, and you turn the little wheel."
Well, that's right. We had to go get him some paper, huh?
Oh yeah, and they played with it. Completely unknown to that generation.
Well,
isn't it amazing?
And you know, in a cyber meltdown, of course, our secret code will be cursive writing.
Oh yeah, nobody can read that.
Only all of us old people will know that.
I was amazed. I know a 25-year-old who cannot read cursive writing.
Yeah,
I know it. That's amazing.
I know a young man under the age of 25. I taught him how to use a zip tie. I'm not sure which is more frightening. They don't know cursive writing or have never used a zip tie. I guess it depends on your career choices, huh?
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
Back to our first song about the CIA, huh?
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know what it is about you, but you make us goof off. This never happens.
Oh.
Oh, okay. That was a lie. My nose is keeping the microphone away from my mouth.
I guess I could go back to cyber if you'd like me to.
Please do.
Okay. let me think. I went through 2012. Now, one of the other things that happened in 2012, they actually came out with a final report that during 2012, 41% of the cyber attacks that they had identified were against the energy sector. And actually stated, now there were no details, so I really don't know what the details were about this, but they stated that a power station was crippled for weeks due to a cyber attack. So 2012 was a very eye-opening scenario, an eye-opening year for our leadership. But since then, of course, we've had so many other types of cyber things that have happened, ransomware being one. There are several things that I think could show up even worse than they already are in the near future. And it worries me that these are really, to a certain extent, they can be used, and they probably will be used as distractions for something bigger and better. And I think that's where Dr. Pry comes in with the scenario of a hybrid attack. You're distracted by a cyber attack that's not as bad as it could be. It wouldn't take down the grid for weeks at a time, perhaps. But it could portend something that we're not looking for at the time because we're too distracted, which could be an EMP. Now, the way that you would distract people to that extent, ransomware has already been, it's already been demonstrated that they can use ransomware. One actor can use it in multiple locations, multiple sectors, and it can be used as a long-term kind of destructor. It will take you down longer term than you would normally expect from something like a DDoS attack, which is a distributed denial of service. That's where you just get bombarded with things, with emails or whatever they might bombard your system with to keep you from getting anywhere, doing anything in particular. But usually hackers can only keep that up for a day or, you know, maybe a little more, a week at the most. But ransomware can really do a lot of damage. And if, although they said 4% of those who attack different sectors of the community with ransomware, only 4% don't actually give the data back when you've paid them. It could also be used as a way to just destroy your data and hide behind the fact that it's a ransomware attack. So you're not actually looking so much for the perpetrator in order to attack them back. You're just trying to save your data. And if right. you do enough of that, if you do it across the country, for instance, in different sectors across the country, you could be in a lot of trouble really fast.
And who do you think is the, I don't know if you can say, but who's the big player on the cyber attacks? Please don't say Russia. But
Ukraine.
They really don't state who the biggest player is, but it well, is it Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. They're really
right.
showing up as the biggest players. Of course, there are criminal elements involved there, but you never really know if the criminal elements are state-sponsored. And to a large extent, you can almost assume it.
Right.
There are also other actors. Actually, ransomware is a business. There are different players all along the line of the, that part of the business, which exists from development all the way to the attack. But and each of them gain money from it. So it's a good business to be in if
it's
you're
profitable.
Just looking for money. It's very profitable. Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading an article the other day where the new thing that we're going to start seeing a lot of is they've actually got some AI software that can mimic your voice, and they yeah. take that and combine it with your speech pattern, and they call you on the phone, and it sounds just like the other person, and they get money that way. So it's getting to where it's going to be very difficult to protect yourself. They're pretty crafty.
And it almost is now. A gentleman that talked to us about ransomware at InfraGuard just a few months ago told us, and I quote here, all are compromised. We are going to be playing by rules yet to be written.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is existential.
Wow.
Now, businesses, he said businesses are literally just giving up. They get hit by ransomware. They can't afford it. They can't afford the days that they're down. They can't afford to pay it. So they just fail. They just
right.
pull up.
Well, I guess in Europe it's really bad. They actually pay a ton of ransom over there compared to what we're being hit with. But how can you protect yourself? Because, I mean, it just changes almost daily.
Yeah.
So it's almost impossible.
Well, they've got all sorts of stuff. I mean, think about it. Last week, so somebody called Bill at work on your cell phone, right?
Yeah, cell phone.
Said that he owed money, but they would settle it for $1,000. But if they were going to file with the county and take out a lien, and it was going to be $5,000 if they did that. And they had left a phone number, an 866 phone number, that he called
right.
back. And actually didn't get anybody, but then
I called back a second time and got the same person.
And got them. Well, he came home and told me about this, and I was like, we don't owe anybody anything, and if it was from a million years ago and somehow you forgot about it, it's not going to be $1,000. It's going to be like a zillion
right.
dollars, right? So I looked
right.
up the phone number. I just did a basic search. I just parked the phone number in there. Oh my gosh, it was the after hours phone number for a utility company in Georgia.
Wow.
How random is that? And it was their real phone number. I mean,
that was their real phone number that wouldn't.
These people were using it and intercepting
during
calls
the day
during the
when,
day.
Yeah, when it wasn't active, you know, because it was only active after hours, but they were using it
right.
during the day. So, yeah.
I mean, so it doesn't have to be your computer, really.
That's right. And I've seen similar things. I've seen a company in California being used by scammers in Maine that were, that actually the only way I know about this was a friend of mine naively took the scammers for their word and ended up losing everything. $80,000 in savings. And then because of what they claimed that they could try to get it all back, gave him a checking account with checks attached, and said, "This is the money that we've been able to collect for you. Use these checks." And he did, and of course they were bad, which got him in trouble with the law.
Oh my God, it's
unbelievable what they can do. They can ruin your life in a matter of days, if not minutes. It's just I wake up each day thankful that I haven't fallen for a scam yet, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, your email comes in and it looks legit, and people click on things, and you know, you don't have to be, you know, really unsophisticated. They've got some pretty. I mean, let's face it, they were using a real phone number for a real place, somehow on the off hours, and intercepting those phone calls.
Yeah,
you should call your friends at you know where. And tell them to check with, what is it, Fairfax, Georgia, I think it was?
Yeah.
The utility company.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a secret, secret cache of money in there. So I thought, you know, so I was thinking about superheroes while we were talking about this. So anyway, I found a fun song for that. We'll be right back with our guest, Professor Cynthia Ayers, and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Still your secrets I will keep. Took for granted all the times I never let you down. You stumbled in and bumped your head. If not for me, then you'd be dead. I'd pick you up, put you back on solid ground. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhero. Seeing foreign cars filled with fuel, it isn't ours. And wearing cotton we didn't grow. He's got the red, white, blue, blind hound farm. Separate by tattooed on his left arm. Spent a little more in the store for a tag. And the back it says USA. He won't buy nothing and he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't prejudiced. America.
Mr. Keith comes through again. Three cheers for the Marine Corps.
Absolutely.
244 years. Yes. Okay. So in the final in the final 10 minutes, what would you like to add?
Well, there are a couple things, I guess.
It's not the final 10 minutes. Don't buy that. You're like, no, it's not the final 10 minutes. We're going to totally do this again on another day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So go ahead and do whatever you want for 10 minutes.
Wonderful.
No
pressure. One of the other ways that we could be disrupted or distracted by a cyber attack is Internet of Things. I don't know if have you ever heard of Internet of Things?
No.
I have, but what does it mean? Why do I know that?
It's kind of an inclusive term for the things that are connected in your home, like television, smart television, smart refrigerators, smart
crazy Alexa thing that some people have. What the heck?
Right.
That's, I can't even explain that, why you would have that in your house, but okay.
I agree.
Anyway.
I agree. But just about anything in your home that's connected or could be connected digitally is kind of called the Internet of Things. Now, you're already, to a certain extent, probably connected because you've got a smart meter. At least most of these public utilities.
No, we do not.
You don't? Oh, good for you.
No, we have. It's on our gas meter, which doesn't do anything because we live 2 miles from the sun, so everything we use is electric because we have to have air conditioning.
Well, this is in certain areas. As a matter of fact, Montana was one. They were putting these things on, and they would literally charge you a fortune if mm-hmm. you did not want to be connected, and they'd make life miserable for you if you didn't. I had a smart meter put on a house that I owned in Carlisle that was put on there without me even knowing about it. So, for the most part, most places anymore have these smart meters attached, and that's it can be an open back door to the grid, so that they could attack the grid through these smart meters, or they could attack the people in the house, in the home, in the building, wherever it is that these things are located. If you could get in through that, you could literally watch what people are doing on their TV set, even if it's not on. You can tell who's in the house, what they're doing, where they're at in the house, and to a large extent, through pattern analysis, when they leave, what their lifestyle is like, so that you can decide what you want to do in that particular house. If you're an attacker, for instance, burglarize the home, or perhaps kidnap somebody.
Be a lurker.
Mm-hmm. Be a lurker, mm-hmm. Or even it could be used for leadership assassinations if an attacker really wanted to.
Sure.
So that itself is a cyber scenario that's pretty terrifying. If you carry that to the strategic realm, in which an attacker, a nation state attacker, might, for instance, be looking to take out a leadership sector of the country. Harder to do, but it's possible.
And a lot of people. Okay, so I can hear them out there. I always have multiple channels. I think it's because of that stupid Sirius assortment I gave you earlier. But I always hear people in the back of my head on conversations like this who say, "Well, I don't care what they see. I'm not doing anything bad."
Oh yeah, but yeah. They can use you to get to somebody else too. They
right, but I mean, yeah. It's just creepy. Like people have I have multiple pet peeves, but one of them is TV in the bedroom. That freaks me out. It's like, okay, the only way it'll go in the bedroom is if it lives in a cabinet with a door.
Yeah, right.
But that's not help me out. It's not crazy, is it?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I have things stuck over the camera on my laptop, even
yes,
as we speak.
Me too. I have an NRA sticker, actually. I thought that was fitting.
Oh, that is fitting. I like that. I'll have to find my NRA sticker and do that.
I should turn it around the other way, but then the sticky part would be facing me, and that kind of defeats the purpose.
I tried it on mine, but it covered the whole screen.
Oh, hey, speaking of things that covered the whole screen and didn't have a thing over your laptop, your old laptop, remember?
Yeah.
You were sitting in our office at home.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it emailed Bill a picture of the inside of our office.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Oh, dear.
I'm sure they weren't spying on him. Oh, wait, how'd they get the picture? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Well, even these cases of baby monitors.
True.
Becoming active and people spying on babies. You know, it might be just playing from the local teenage hacker down the road, but heaven only knows these days. You don't know.
Well, we read a deal here not too long ago that these Roomba vacuum cleaners have, they can actually hack into that because you can actually set those from your cell phone, and they can get a map of your house through your vacuum cleaner.
Well, it does map your house.
Good grief.
So,
yeah. Wow.
It does make a map of your house.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it right now. Oops.
Yeah. Oops.
Too much information.
Wow.
But
of course, these days, you can hack into your car. You can hack into just about anything.
Oh, that's true.
And one of the problems that Vice President Cheney had was that that was about the time when they decided that, your heart monitor could be hacked into. Anything that's really attached as a medical device that's digital can be hacked into.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. Same too with the inside surveillance. I get that. I don't know why people want to see the inside of their house when they're gone. I guess if there's somebody in there and you can't get home in time to get them out, really.
Right.
But the rest of the time, what's the high likelihood that they're spying on you?
I wondered that too, but it seems to me there are so many reasons, so many things that happen to people that you just would not fathom years ago, that we all should be careful. But then again, if you're in any kind of leadership position, if you are, even if you don't have Secret Service agents around you all the time, I think...
like you have people who smile everywhere?
Yeah. but your basic congressman and even maybe the state local leadership need to be worried about
things. Oh yeah.
If an enemy knows your whereabouts and knows your pattern of your pattern of existence, so to speak, then you're in trouble. There is a general many, many years ago, and his name escapes me at the moment, but he is kidnapped in Italy and held for ransom by the Red Army, I believe it was, the Bader-Meinhof gang, or an offshoot of the Bader-Meinhof gang. But they only knew how to capture him by watching his patterns. He went out and jogged every day along a certain path, and his wife was home alone at that particular point in time. So that's the kind of pattern analysis that they've been doing for a very, very long time. It's so easy now. You don't even have to be in the area. You can just hack.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere. I mean, any place there's a camera, I mean, it can be hacked.
Yeah.
It is something I think people should be smarter about. Like, I always have a phone case that has a cover on the front, you know, so that it's not sitting on my desk or wherever with the whole thing just open spying on me.
Right.
He's probably listening to me, so. Actually, I'm pretty fun in just sound, but, you know, the video makes it a lot more exciting. So I'm depriving him of that just for meanness.
You could get it to the point where you just give up, and because there's so many different ways that they're going to gain access to you one way or another, you just throw up your hands.
Be like the 20-year-olds and post all the food you've eaten every minute of every day the entire time you've been alive?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff people post, it's like, wow. You know?
Yeah.
You should have a private thought every now and then.
Exactly.
It's not a bad thing.
Or at least an interesting thought.
Then there's that.
Yeah. There you go.
That's where our judger comes out. Yeah, I'm big on that. Mm-hmm. You read it and you're like, really? Yeah, we did get a piece of mail about the climate thing being the most urgent thing, but they spelled urgent E-R-G-E-A-N-T. I was like, urgent? What?
Urgent. Yeah.
I know something that's more urgent.
learn to spell.
Man, that's awesome. In the last 3 minutes, we found a way to throw the environmentalists under the bus. Boom! It's a perfect show.
Unfortunately, we've been through that. The National Security Agency, the intelligence community in general, and the military, there for a while, that was considered our number one national security threat, was the climate.
Idiotic climate. Yeah, let's pick the one thing we can't do anything about.
Right.
And let's not work on EMPs. That's too hard. And or not a threat. Okay, so, well, we'll chat on email about when you can come back and be our hostage again, because we certainly have enjoyed it.
Oh, well, thank you.
And
thank
you obviously
you
so bring out the best in us.
Oh, that's good to know. Thank you. I can't imagine how you could get any better. You guys are wonderful.
Well, we very much enjoyed it. Thanks a million.
Thanks a bunch for coming on.
Thank you. You all have a good evening.
You too. We can. You can find the archive of this show at wethepeopleradio.us. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.